From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, let your will be done. Move by your spirit among us. In Jesus' name, somebody shout it in. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap and you may please be seated. You're welcome to our salvation rally. Sister Rebecca said it very well. When something is good, you do it for the second time. Yeah, when you smoke weed and it tastes nice, you smoke again. Yeah. When you kiss and it's nice, you kiss again. Now, if you are not expecting to hear some of these things in church, then please go to the Catholic Church. Here we are also human beings. We know what's going on. We know that. Yeah, we've done some that plenty. And then we know that everybody, since we're formed and we're shaped in iniquity, everybody goes that way. Even when you talk to them, they don't listen to you. So we are trying to make you know that, just so that somebody doesn't take you off. At least when you hear it, when you're doing it, you say, oh, okay. So once it's good, you do it for the second time, isn't it? So once you are here for the first time, if the church is good, you come again. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, if you're here for the first time, as long as this is good, we want to see you again. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 5. We want to continue tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, but on the West Bank. What do you think about that? Yeah. Because I feel some demons are feeling very nice that we are not there. You know, so we wanna take the rally, the atmosphere, the soul winning spirit. We want to take across to Prince of Wales tomorrow night outside under the trees, cashew trees tomorrow night, and then Thursday night. So at least two nights there, isn't it? Yes. Wonderful. And then by the grace of God, we're going to go to the areas where we have churches also to be able to also shake up the places as well. What do you think? Yeah. So look out for announcement of the Salvation Rally coming to your area very, very soon. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Goldfinger, can you sit down somewhere? We are not at Steve's, you know. Please sit down. It's okay to sit down. It's not a problem at all. I didn't say go outside, though. I said sit down. Yes. Please feel comfortable. Relax your nerves. And thieves don't come here. It's Christians who come here. The other side is thieves who go there. So just relax and enjoy the flight. Before you realize, you don't even remember anything I spoke about. Right, so unless it's very, very, very necessary, I don't think you should get up. And if anything at all, the focus should be in front. It is me, if I'm not alive, that's what will affect you. Anybody who goes to the back, it's okay. They are walking into their destiny. to make sure that the man in front is well. Like the last time when I was right here, and then a friend came up to me to whisper to me. Isn't it? And all my people were frozen. Like this frozen guy in Incredibles. You know, Incredibles, this guy, this black guy. He freezes everything he sees. Yeah. Isaiah chapter 5. Samantha, it's good to see you again. You change your seat from there to here now. Verse 1 says, you know, I mentioned somebody's name, and the person says, they don't like it, they left the church. Yeah. So I told one of my pastors, I said, tell the person, people glad for me for mentioning their names. So if she doesn't like it, it should galong she way. Yeah. You see, one day somebody approached me after service and asked, no way, interacted. The person said, it's a rev. I was a reverend. I said, rev, please, while you're preaching, please mention my name too. Then I realized that, hey, it's important. Some people, it's very important for some people. Yeah. So if you don't want me to mention your name, well. Huh? Sherwin, what do you think? Yeah, I should mention your name. Pastor Calvin. Wonderful. Verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 5. The Bible says, now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my well-beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Hallelujah. Amen. The title of my message tonight is this: A Savior's Serenade. Serenade. A Savior's Serenade. What's a serenade? A serenade is like a love letter, a love song, something that somebody who loves somebody writes. Now, Isaiah here, the prophet, is the one who God is speaking through. And he's saying that. Remember, he says that, now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. So Isaiah is the one who is saying that, I will sing to my well-beloved. The well-beloved is God. Is the God of Israel. And this well-beloved, Isaiah is saying that, has something we call a vineyard. He says, this song, this love song, this serenade that I am putting forth, this poem that I am making known, it is about God and his lover. And you'd be surprised that the lover of God is you. I said, you'd be surprised to hear and to know that the lover that Isaiah is writing a serenade about, where God is concerned, is you and I. So he goes on to say, my well-beloved, that is God, has a vineyard. in a very fruitful hill. So, if my well-beloved is God, then his vineyard is you and I. I tell you. And the Bible says that this vineyard was not placed in any bad place, but a fruitful hill. You see, one of the things that you will understand from God and by God is that it takes God's direction, really, for somebody to change places, geographical locations, as to where the person comes from. You see, when you are not a Christian, anything comes. I mean, you follow the things of the world. If there's a wave, there's a move about anything, you follow them. That's how the world behaves. For example, as oil is dripping from the shores of Guyana, the Stabroek Block and all of that, you see that as we go along, you see white people coming in. So the airport is very important. It's very important to have a very nicer airport so that when the white people are coming and other airlines, before you realize, oh, American Airlines, British Airways, you realize all of them are trying to come here because of the oil. Now, and that is why many people have said and believe that God, to an extent, really, really loved the people of, let's say, South America and Africa. Because if you look at South America and then even North America, for example, and Africa, these are the continents that have natural resources. Many of the other continents, Europeans and these other places where Asia, many of them don't have some of the things that South America and Africa has. So you realize that if you want to even look at it in the area of partiality, you can even say that God is very partial towards some people. Because where he placed some people, they already have. Who just wakes up and discovers oil? You know how many people are looking for oil in their countries? And we just discover oil just outside the land, outside the shores of our country. So the Bible says that God, the well-beloved, has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. You see, God has already set you and I up to do well. That's the end of the story. Because if you love somebody, you don't set them up in a bad place. Sometimes people even misunderstand love. Because if you say something a little in the opposite direction where the person is expecting, they think that you don't love them. But the Bible says that real love, according to the Bible, is love that does not rejoice with evil. Anybody who says they love you and they sit down quietly for you to suffer, for you to punish, for you to go the wrong way, it doesn't really love you. So, again, you can even see something. For example, let's say I say something about Anita. And then let's say to Jackie, it's a negative thing I said about Anita. Then Jackie can go and tell Anita, if Anita is not there, Jackie can go and tell Anita, you know what's going on? But you don't know from which point I said what I said about Anita. You are just hearing something, but you don't know from where it's coming from. And deep love really corrects you. Deep love protects and corrects. Somebody was asking me that, you know, is it good to be, you know, in the church and not have problems, or is it good to be have problems in the church? I say, if you're in the church and there's never a problem about you, you are an actor. Yeah, you are Steven Seagal. Yeah. You are Chuck Norris. You are Jackie Chan. You are in a comedy movie. Yeah, Denzel Washington. Yeah, Eddie Murphy. Coming to America. How come we are all living together here? And you are perfect throughout. You never get angry. You don't get annoyed. You don't get vexed. You don't cause. I mean, come on, please. Yeah, let's be serious. Let us be serious. So I told the individual, I said, It is better to get problems in the church because you are the one who is actually comfortable. Because when people are not comfortable, they guard themselves. That's why many of the things we do that are not right, we do it in the house and not in the church. Because for some of us, if we come to your house, we'll not know, we'll not understand that it's you. Fian, are you listening? If we were to come to your house, it may be very, very different. Yeah. So, we don't understand love. Because sometimes you think that, I'm in Guyana, things are difficult for me. Man, what kind of pressure is this? But the Bible says that I have placed my vineyard in a fruitful hill. Or in a very fruitful hill. So you are actually set up to prosper from day one. Except that because you have not responded to the love of God, you are not seeing where he has placed you and what he actually even wants you to become. But your location is a fruitful hill. Do you know how many people want to be like you? So when you really are in tune with God, and if you really are a spiritual person, you don't change locations anyhow. I just didn't change my country. You see, when some people say, so where is he from? He's from here, he's from there. So what is he doing here? Oh, these people, you are a fool. Because it wasn't that we were not happy where we were, you know. We were very comfortable. We were happy. We actually decided to go to where we went. But you see, just as Jesus spoke to Peter and said, you know what? When you are young, you went wherever you wanted to go. He said, when you grow, somebody will hold your hand and take you to a place where you don't want to go. So when I was young, I chose to go to Europe. I chose to go to Europe and go to school and live there and work there and prosper and become prosperous. And then as I grew older, then somebody said, leave here and go there without me having to even decide or even have to say anything. And that's what I did. So when you are matured, you go to a place where you don't like. When you're a baby, you go where you want to go. Should I say it again? That's what the Bible says. Jesus told Peter, he said, when you were young, you used to just do anything you want to do. You get up from the chair and you move around. But when you are old, they say, ashes will say, go and sit here. It's only the children will say, me like there. I like here. It's only the immature church members who refuse where the ashes send you to. Are you there? So, the beginning of the love story is that God loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The world is a beautiful place. Guyana is a beautiful place. It depends on who is looking. America is a beautiful place. It depends on who is looking. Europe is a nice place. It depends on who is looking. Africa is a very nice place too. It depends on what you are looking and what you are looking for. The Bible says that God, Isaiah is saying, God placed his beloved, his vineyard, in a very fruitful hill. You see, so if you cannot prosper here, then it means that all of us who are Guyanese will leave Guyana if we want to prosper. If prosperity is not in Guyana and it is somewhere else for all of us, nobody will be here anymore. You should all go because all of us want to prosper. How many don't want to prosper? You don't want to prosper. You don't want to prosper. Please, lay your hands on there for me. You want to prosper? Yeah. You want to prosper? He goes on in verse 2. And he says what? When he placed the vineyard in that fruitful hill, then what did he do? He fenced it. So what Isaiah is saying is that God has placed you here in Georgetown, in Guyana, and he has protected you from the day you were born up to now. He put a fence around you. You see, whether you are a Christian or not, the love of God has not changed for you. And therefore, whether you are a Christian or not, he also protects you. Because he loves us so much that all that he's looking for is one day you understand his proposal and his love for you. He fenced the vineyard to protect it. And he said, and he gathered out the stones thereof, the things that will prevent the vineyard from becoming fruitful and blossom. All the negative things your way, all the negative and the bad things and the evil things, God delivered you. Sometimes people say, oh, my spirit is strong. That is why. Your spirit is strong? You see how some unbelievers speak. Oh, I'm not a bad person, you know. I don't have to go to church. You are talking. You don't know what you are talking about. It is God who removes the stones. It's God who removes obstacles. You go to school, you do well, you get through the nice job, you get a nice contract, money is flowing, and you don't want to go to church. You don't like God. You think you are the one doing it. It's God who is removing all those stones and obstacles from your path for you to do well. You should ask yourself, do you think that the people who are prospering and developing things and people who are not Christians, where do they get the ideas from? Think about it. All those who develop computers, all the doctors who do research and bring up medicines and all these things, where do they get the wisdom and the knowledge from? From their pocket? From their mothers and their fathers? If you trace it, if you will carefully trace it, you will see that it is God who gave people brains. It's not the food they eat. Then all of us will go and look for the food. So, no matter which direction you look at it, if the person is a Christian or not, it does not matter where they get their wisdom and their knowledge from. So this thing here, God is actually speaking more about those who are outside than those who are inside. So God has removed stones from the vineyard. He's removed it. Hey, do you know how many times you could have died through that car accident? Do you know? How many times you could have just slept and not wake up? Because with all the things that we know and we talk about, when you sleep, you sleep. Oh, I have never come across somebody who sleeps and says, oh, when I was sleeping, I was still guarding myself. I was awake. They say, you don't know me. I sleep and I still watch myself. So as I'm sleeping, I have a gun and I'm watching over myself. Last night, for example, I don't know when I slept. I was on my bed. I was reading something. I was watching something. When I opened my eyes, it was in the morning. I say, what time did I sleep? You don't know when you sleep. You don't know what happens when you sleep. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when we sleep, Jesus said the dark things and the evil things, they happen in the night. When you sleep, a lot of things go on. When you are sleeping, the others are awake. If you don't believe, you should look at the baby. You should look at the baby when you give birth to a baby. It's the night they are awake. When you want to sleep, they ain't ready. Every mother will experience that now and then. When it is time to sleep here on earth, baby says, where I come from, it's not night. So jet lag, I'm suffering from jet lag. Where I come from is morning. So if it's here and now you go and sleep, me sleeping. You take the baby, you take the child, and you do something, you do that. And you go and sit down, you put the baby on your chest. And then the baby just, because of the comfort, close their eyes a little bit. Then you go. And then you hear the baby, God. So, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Baby is sleeping, you wonder, what is this? If you don't take care, you call your husband and say, man, I'm tired. How are you sleeping? Are you snoring like I punishing here like that? Come and take the baby for a turn. If you don't understand that when you are sleeping, other things are alive and other things are working, you look at a baby when it's born. All of these moments, stones are removed. Obstacles are removed. Hey. If you don't know the danger in driving in Georgetown, please go abroad. I've had visiting ministers in my car several times when they come to Guyana. As I'm driving, they are giving commentary as I'm driving. So watch the guy, watch the guy. and I am quiet driving, enjoying my ride. He said, no, look. I'm cool. I know. I have now gotten used to motorbikes and bicycles who come from a corner to join a main road. They just come so fast out and then they just go on the side like that. Early days when I see them, now when I see them, I just drive. I've gotten used to it. As if you find yourself in front of my car, it's not me. It's you, Kosam. I mean, they can make you panic. You are on the main road. You are driving comfortably. If you don't take it, the guy is coming from a corner, a bicycle, because they know that they can just go on the side. They just come with full force and then just turn on the corner. No brakes. There is no fear. When you go to another place and you are driving. Hey, I was in Florida one day. I was driving with one of our pastors there. We go to a four corner. Every car in front, car on the right, car on the left, everybody stopped at a four corner. So I asked him, so who goes? He said, the person who goes will go. When you get to a corner, just like when you are doing driving tests, they do. When you get to a corner, you step on the brake, you stop. Your car must stop. Look to the left, look to the right, and observe who has priority. If it is you, then you move. I said, no, I can't drive in this country. You get to a four corner and then you stop. And then the guy you are facing stops. The guy on your left and your right, everybody has stopped. It's as if we are asking, okay, so who would like to go? He told me, he said, Pastor Collins, if you don't stop, you'll not be happy. So you have to know that we live in a jungle where when you sit in a minibus, you sit in a taxi, you are driving your own car. It doesn't matter which car you are in, because even if you are careful, somebody's not going to be careful. The night that you go home and you come, all kinds of things we do, all the stones, obstacles, the evil things, God removes them from your path and my path. Hey, my vineyard, a well-beloved, and it's my yard. He said, and planted it with the choicest vine. See, this is where you have to believe who God has made you. The choicest vine. I mean, the vineyard is a place where vines have been planted. And the vines, the people that God has created. The Bible says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is no foolish human being among us. There's no ugly human being among us. There's no useless person among us. Useless to who? You? Not to God. Not to God. In fact, the person that you will actually not respect, you'll be surprised what God will use that person to do. Yeah. The person that you say, this person is this, that person is that. You'll be very surprised how that person turns up and what that person becomes. You'll be very surprised. The choicest vine. And he said, and he built a tower in the midst of it. This is a sign of protection. That God himself builds a tower so that he can see everywhere. He said, which demon is coming today? Not this one, not my child here. Not this, not that, not that. He said, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. If you have a tower and you are watching over people as a watchman or security, you don't sleep. You know them security around here who sleep in the night? You see, with all due respect and understanding, security people in our country, please. Security is for people with even, I think my kid brother is even into security or something like that. He's an ex-soldier, young man.
Yeah. That's what you call security. Not people with arthritis.
They have come to work with their pillow and their mattress. Yeah? And with the sheets. And they sit in the guard hut. And then they just close the windows a little bit like that. And then they do throwback. And they put a radio on. They are not listening to no radio. They are sleeping.
When you watch movies, don't you see the security people? With dark shades. Their ears plugged. Serious. With some muscles. They walk like that. You'll be afraid. But in another country that begins with G,
you have Gambia. You have Grenada. You have Ghana. You have Germany. Guatemala. So you don't know the country I'm talking about. You see security officers. Security? People have breasts. Men with breasts. Hush. If you try, you see. You'll be knockout. You'll be on the floor. Yeah. Being paid a large amount of money to watch over things. He said he built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. After the tower, what God actually did was to bring the best out of us. Because a wine press is a place where wine is made from the vine. The grapes. So it's not like he plants a vineyard in a very fruitful hill and all of that, and that's all this protected fence around it, and then he doesn't bring the best. He brings the best wine right there out of the vine. You look at it, all those people who pass exams, they do well, they get big jobs, big positions, become ministers, this and this. God makes their gifts and their talents so useful that they shine. They become important. He brings the best out of them. Yet, he says, and I looked that it should bring forth grapes. He said, after all the effort, I was waiting to see that with all these things I'm giving to them, that these people will be of benefit to me. Will respond to all my efforts in their lives. He said, they brought forth wild grapes. God is saying tonight that after all the things he has been doing for you, he's not seeing anything you are doing for him in return. He's not seeing your love in return. He's not seeing your response in return. With all the protection, with all the guidance, with all the shelter, what are you doing? You're not serving him. You're not giving him your time. You see, as much as it is quite, immature and ignorant for people to come to church and get up and walk out, that's what it is. Who gave you the life? Even the legs that you are standing on to walk out, who gave it to you? If God tells you right now, give me the legs I gave you. Do you know that your life will change if you lose both legs? Your life will change completely. You become a baby. Diane, we have to lift you up and carry you like a baby. If there's nobody, you can't go anywhere. And then you see how people will react to you when you want to go somewhere. I see how it is. Did I tell her to lose her legs? I know it. So Anita Gordon used to go and help, I think, a blind man or something. The man is blind. Sometimes he has to go to town and sort out his NIS and things. There was nobody.
She's the one who will go from the church. Go and take the blind man, like the blind man is her relative. Take the man out to NIS, to bank, to here, and take him back home. There's nobody. If you lose your eyes right now, then you will know that indeed God really has done something for me. He has given me eyes to see. Yeah. So tonight, if you don't appreciate how God has brought you far, then as you read down, he says that, what should I do to this vineyard? You tell me what the question. God is saying, you know what? You tell me. Tell me what I should do with this thing. This vineyard that I've planted, that is not doing anything for me. You ask. You decide, what should I do? I just set it on fire and finish with it. So what is going to happen is that for those who are not responding to the love of God, that's why the Bible said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes and receives will not perish in everlasting fire, but will have everlasting life. God is waiting. One day he will bring right in front of you all the benefits, all the kindness he has shown you, kindness that nobody can show you. Hey, I've always thought about it. If God was to sell air, like they sell gas at a gas station, they put it in a cylinder and they say it was 3,400. So as you are walking with your cylinder. When it's about to end, then you go to the gas station, go and fill the gas. You see how people beat people for their gas cylinders, their gas bottles. Hey. And once they take your gas bottle away from you, you are gone, because there's nothing to breathe. Look at breath. How you just and sometimes you say, something is smelling. The ability to even distinguish between a good smell and a bad smell. You can make some. How you smell food and you get hungry immediately. You can't produce that. Think about it. If God decides to make that one thing, you see, there's a small thing on the right side of your chest. The left side of your chest, depending on where you're looking at it from. It pumps blood like a machine for 80 years. There's no machine that can work for 70 years without breaking down. I've not seen one before. Pressure pump and a vehicle that works continuous day and night for 70 years. It's a small thing right here in your heart, right there. It pumps like that. Whether you are asleep, whether you are awake, whether you are walking, whether you are running, for 70 years, 365 days in a year, for 70 years. Think about it. If it was to go bad, for you to go and find one, even Chinese one you can't find. Now think about it. If we were to be able to replace our hearts, let's say the heart goes bad, and then you go online and say, heart for Jacqueline Phil. That's a part number. And then you Google it. And say, for sale in Japan. No Prime, no Amazon Prime. $2.6 million. Shipment is $2 million. Clearing tax is another $2 million. There's no exemption. Then you look at a heart on the internet, and then your heart will just come and it will just finish. That's what God is saying. All of these benefits he's giving to us, what is he getting in return? All he's saying is that, give him your heart. He said, give him your life. He said, give yourself to him. He said, just let me have you. Just offer yourself as a living sacrifice. That's all he's asking.
And tonight I want to ask you, what are you doing about this love? Stand to your feet, please. There's a song that says, I count your many blessings and name them one by one. Then you see what the Lord has done. It is when we take our eyes off what we have and begin to look at what we don't have that we get ungrateful. And if you become angry and depressed and sad, but if we were to be grateful for what we have, it will give us strength to even continue our lives without the things that we need and we don't have. Tonight, God is calling you. He says He brought you into this world. He told Jeremiah that before he was formed in his mother's womb, He knew him. God knew you before you were formed. He brought you out into this world for 15 years, for 18 years, for 34 years. You have been around. You are still moving. You are still going on. You have a job. Whatever it is God. Tonight, God is asking for your life in return. Will you give it to Him? Like Abraham, God asked him for the life of his son. He did not keep it away from him. Tonight, you want to say, Bishop, please, when I look back and I think about what the Lord has done in my life, I want to give Him my heart to tonight. I've been living a selfish life, just thinking about myself only. But tonight, as you were ministering about God and His garden, His vineyard, and I see that I am the one that God has planted and is doing so many good things with, I cannot refuse but give Him my life and my heart. You're here like that tonight. You want to give Jesus your heart. You've never done that before in your life. You've never acknowledged Jesus as the giver of life, as the sustainer of your existence, the one who actually gets you up, going and coming all these years. You realize tonight that He has been so good to you. You have not given anything in return. Tonight, your heart is what He's asking for. You want me to pray with you and say, Bishop, please lead me to the cross where His love fell down, where His love was shown and was displayed in agony and in pain. I need Jesus. If you are here like that, you want me to pray with you, you want to give your life to Jesus, just lift up your right hand wherever you are. I want to pray with you. Just your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If your heart is touched, your heart is touched. You know deep down in your heart that God has protected you. He has kept you this far. Some classmates are dead. Some people you grew up with, some of them have gone mad, but you are still alive. It is God who has kept you. Bishop, I acknowledge and I recognize this grace that God has given me. My right hand is up. Please pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to please come to the front. Come to me. I want to pray for you. Come, call for them as they come. Lead me to the come, call for them as they come. Call for them. Oh, clap for them. Clap. Oh, are you not clapping? Are you not clapping? Do you borrow your hands? Evo, you are not clapping. God bless you. God bless you. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them. God bless you. Oh, clap for them. They are coming. They are coming. Clap for them. Clap for them. God bless you. God bless you. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Oh, clap for them. Oh, clap. Bring me to my knees, Lord. I lift me down and rid me of myself. I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Wow, you want to come? It's not too late. Clap for that gentleman, amen.
God bless you. God is calling you. If you will just remember how he has been good to you. Some of you, when you were born, your mother almost lost you. You almost died when God, your mother gave birth to you. God is calling you tonight. He's saying that if you don't respond, one day, you see his anger. You see his regret. One day, you will see what it means to give you life and you don't appreciate it. You want to come? Come right now. God is calling you. Come to Jesus tonight. Come for them as they come. Oh, where your love. Oh, come for the young man. Oh, Lord, I lift me down and rid me of myself. You cannot stand there and just give God your deaf ears. God is calling you tonight. You can't stand in the congregation if you have not appreciated God's love for you. Pray for him as he comes. Oh, lead me to. Oh, God for him. Lead me to the cross where your love calls. To my knees, Lord, I lift it. Clap for the gentlemen also. Men are coming to Jesus tonight. Men are coming to the cross. My God, oh, lead me. Oh, lead me to the cross.
I want us to give Jesus a big, 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 big hand clap tonight. Night after night, he's bringing people in. He's saving lives. Lives that would otherwise have been cut short. Because when God Almighty is fed up with you, that's the end of your life. You will cease to exist. I'm glad you have come forward so that he doesn't get fed up with you. All he will do is just take off his hands, take off his fence, and let some thieves and some rats and some snakes come into your life. That's it. A friend come into your life and say, man, I got some weed that we smoke. The first time you taste weed, you go mad and you die. You don't know. God gets annoyed with you. It's a blessing you have come forward. Amen. Wow. Give Jesus another hand clap. Two young ladies also. Are you not smiling? Yeah. Amen. So if you are here in front, I want you to close your eyes. We're just going to pray a prayer and lift up your two hands as a sign of surrender to Jesus. Your two hands up high. Just lift up your two hands if you're here in front. Yes, lift it up. Son, lift up your two hands. My brother, yes, lift it up. It's a sign that you are surrendering to Jesus. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say after me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I acknowledge all my sinful ways. And I humble myself before you. Right at the feet of the cross, and I ask for your forgiveness. It is only against you, God, that I have sinned. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe after 3 days, he rose again from the dead. I believe he's alive right now. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my life, to come into my heart. I acknowledge God's kindness to me. I appreciate God's protection over my life. And I declare Jesus as my personal Savior. I believe tonight I am saved. I have been delivered from hell and from the anger of God. I believe my name is written in the book of life. And I am no longer the same again. Thank you, Father, for showing me mercy and saving my soul. I will follow you. I will walk with you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, give them a big hand clap tonight. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for all these wonderful people, men, women, boys and girls who came forward confessing Jesus as the only Lord and Savior. Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. It is he who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. These loved ones have confessed and declared Jesus as their Lord. And I know your word says that which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. I know there has been a transformation, supernatural, spiritual, unexplainable transformation in their hearts, in their lives. I believe darkness has gone far away from them, and the light of Jesus Christ has entered into their hearts. I believe even as they walk away from the altar, that from tonight they are marked with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe the devil see them no longer as his property. The devil knows that these are the children and the born again souls from tonight. I pray, Lord, that you watch over them like you only can do. Keep them in church. Keep them following you. Let them never fall by the side of the road. Let them not backslide. Let them not give up. Let them fight a good fight of faith as they lay hold of eternal life. I thank you for chains that are broken, for burdens that have been lifted, and for sins and for spots and blemishes that have been washed away. Thank you for saving these lives, transforming them into greater vessels for the Master's use. Thank you for what you have in store for them. I know their lives are indeed never the same again. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The back pain. What couldn't you do before? Was there something you couldn't do when the pain was there? No, the pain was there, but you could move around and do everything. Yes, she says she's healed. What do you think? Any challenge? Father, thank you for great healing in Jesus' name. Wam G, what's happening, G?
Bishop, this lovely young lady here.
Wow.
Says that she has been troubling with some hip pain on this side for some
hip pain.
Yes, for some few weeks now. She said she thought she wouldn't be able to go to work today, but by the grace of God, tonight, she felt a heat in her hip as you prayed.
Wow.
And God's power healed her.
Wow.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hips! Hip healing! Hallelujah! Sister Waveney, she's a big woman. She can't come and tell her story. Sister Waveney, what happened to you tonight?
Bishop, for the past weeks, I was feeling a pain from my hip. To this feet.
Is it Brother Samuel who did it, or is it Brother Samuel? Okay, all right.
No, Bishop.
Okay, I would have dealt with him for you right now.
Yeah, so when you say place your hands where it's pain, and I place my hand on the hip.
Wow.
And I feel a warmness.
You felt a warmness.
Yeah.
And the
pain was so severe up to yesterday. And Bishop, sometimes I wonder what to do. I go on YouTube watching to see what could help.
How to get healed from a hip.
Yes, they show exercise, they show all kind of thing, but the pain is still there.
Wow.
So I thank God for tonight that the pain.
Why are you not clapping tonight? Father, thank you for hip pain and healing that is permanent. Daughter's life in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Hip pain is gone. Man. Yes, Mom G. G.
Hallelujah.
Line Bishop, by line, step by step, person by person.
Bishop, Lady Pastor Abigail says she has been troubling with some pains in the knee for some years now. Arthritis.
Pain in where?
In the knee.
Let her come forward forward. You know. Paparazzi, is paparazzi here?
Yeah. Pain in the knee for some arthritis. Some family problems. She says she's been troubling with some few years now.
Okay.
But tonight, by the grace of God, as you prayed for her, she felt God's power moving through her. And tonight, she doesn't feel the pain in her knees anymore.
Lady Pastor Abigail, where was the pain? Both knees.
Yes, Bishop. Yes, Bishop.
Tell us.
My family thing is arthritis, but...
Family thing?
Yeah.
Nah, we cancel the family thing.
But the last month or so, I would, you know, come to town on the ferry.
Yes.
And I lay on the, it is wood, the coal like I contract, you know, it became worse.
Wow.
And I would pray, I said, I can't have problems with my
skin. No.
No, at all.
We're too busy.
Yes. And I would pray about it, but, you know, I struggle. I went exercising and so, but it was still worrying me. And in fact, when I sit down, I got up tonight, it came again. I said, no. So when you say prayer, I was very happy.
Wow. Yeah.
So when
both legs, you can't feel it anymore. Why are you on your tablet? Why are you on your phone? You are not standing. You are not giving God a praise.
Yeah.
Father, thank you. Healing is permanent in Jesus' name. Amen. G, everybody else should be out of the stage. Only the person testifying should be on stage. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
But everybody else down there. And then, is that an Asha?
He's also
you're
a
working.
Testimony. He also has a testimony.
Okay, so can you go there? Come right ahead.
Bishop, this gentleman said today, this gentleman today, he was working. Okay. And by accident, he hit his finger with a hammer. With a hammer.
Okay.
And he was unable to move his finger.
Okay.
But he says tonight, as you prayed for him, he's able to move his finger tonight.
Wow. Are you a carpenter? That finger. You couldn't move it?
No, I couldn't move him.
And now he's moving?
Now he's moving. Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Sure. 10% sure.
It happened today?
It happened today.
And you couldn't move it?
I couldn't move him.
The middle finger. And it's moving.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack Deere is not here. Come on, somebody! Father,
yeah!
Thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Man! Wamji, what's happening?
Bishop, this young man said that for some few years he had a heart problem. And when he went to the doctor,
okay,
he said there was a problem there. Well, he said he went back yesterday, and they said they can't find a problem, but there was still some pains in his chest.
Okay.
But he said when you prayed for him this evening, the pain has gone. It's disappeared. It's disappeared.
Madam Ness, what is? Please, give her the microphone. Let's hear what is the possible. What is? G, stay on stage, brother.
Well, give.
You see, Amerindian people, stay right there. What is the possible call? What do you think is here? She's a nurse tutor. She teaches people to become nurse. It's working.
You could have been having angina.
You could have been what?
Angina.
Angina pectoris.
Angina pectoris. Yeah.
What is the severe? If it persists, what can happen?
It can lead him to cardiac infarction, which is
Cardiac infarction.
Cardiac infarction.
Another way of saying heart attack.
Yes.
Wow. And the pain is gone.
Yes, Bishop.
Tonight the pain is gone. Are you sure the pain is gone?
Yes, Bishop.
Are you sure the pain is gone?
Yes, Bishop.
You sure the pain is gone?
Yes, Bishop.
Somebody. Father, thank you. The pain is gone. In the name of Jesus. Wow. You may take your seat. Exciting testimonies tonight. Yeah. Annette.
Bishop, this one is a very fantastic testimony.
Wow.
Bishop, last week you prayed. You spoke about someone's feet.
Okay.
And it was Anita you spoke about. Okay. She was afraid to give her testimony. She said she was
afraid to give her testimony. Last week's salvation rally.
Bishop, you said that she wanted to make sure. So she waited for a week.
Hey.
Her legs were pulling and it had some very her knees were pulling.
And then tell us what happened to you.
Anyway,
come, yes.
Well, last week I came to church, right? And it's like I used to feel some pain in my knee, like something pulling me knee, both knee just pulling. It's like if I sit down or if I lie down, I'm going to get up. It's like I can't press down, put me 2 foot. It's like pain in me foot all the time. So when Pastor prayed last week, now I said, wait, I want to know if it's me man praying for, you know? Yeah. And anyway, I said, like, I feel like if this pain going, but I so finally forget to come and say, well, it's me. I said, but I ain't go home and see for a couple of days to see if it's true. But I waking up next morning, like I go and sleep, right? And when I wake up, I put on me 2 foot. So when I put on me 2 foot, me feeling no more pain. I said, what?
Hey, salvation rally, bring a miracle. Father, thank you so much for healing that is genuine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Calvin, what's happening there?
Bishop, we have this young man. He came tonight. He came with his left leg. It was swollen and it was a severe pain. When you prayed, Bishop.
Left leg was swollen.
Yeah.
With severe pain.
Yes. And he couldn't move it.
He couldn't move it?
He couldn't move it. You asked him to stand. He stand. And as you prayed, he was healed. Amen.
Wow. What's your name?
Roman Maxwell.
Marcel.
Maxwell,
what happened to you?
We need football and play.
Football you play.
Yeah.
You are not Neymar, you know. But you are trying to play. And then what happened? Somebody kick you?
Yeah.
Right at the top there.
Yeah.
When was this?
It was long ago.
Long ago?
Yeah.
And you've had the pain for a long time.
Yeah.
And tonight, what happened?
It healed up.
Heal up?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Heal up, yeah. Pain, heal up. Pain, heal up. Father, thank you for healing permanently in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, put your hands together for the Lord. Walk, let's see, go. Is heal up? Wow. That young man gave his life to Christ. Yes. OMG.
Hallelujah. Amen. Bishop, this young man, you prayed for him on Sunday.
Okay.
Healing from
I remember
Sunday.
His face.
Yes. He said he's been hearing voices in his head. But since you prayed for him on Sunday, by the grace
who,
of God.
Somebody brought him. Who brought this guy?
Rebecca. Yes.
Where's Rebecca?
Mrs. Ned.
Rebecca. Where is she? She's breastfeeding. Oh, bring the breast and the feeding here. Rebecca brought him.
Hallelujah. He says, since you have prayed for him on Sunday, today, up to today, he has not heard any voices. He's not been hearing any voices from today. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Sunday, this is Rebecca brought you to me, and you told me what?
That I am hearing voices inside my head.
Was it inside your yard?
Yeah.
Was it every day you would hear the voices?
Yes, every day.
And since Sunday when I prayed for you?
I haven't heard any.
You have not been hearing any voice?
Yes.
You will never hear any other voice than the voice of God. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this miracle. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hug up tonight.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.